John chapter 16, let's rock and roll. John chapter 16, all this I have told you so that you will not fall away. We've been going through the book of John, the portraits of Jesus. Every chapter has an idea what Jesus, what John wants us to understand about Jesus. And the last couple weeks is about Jesus and what he is doing, and he's speaking directly to us. After a couple of sermons, next 2 weeks, we're going to bring the frame back up, and then John goes back into the picture of Jesus. So we're taking a little sidetrack here because now we're focusing on what Jesus is telling us. All right, John chapter 16. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering service to God. Kind of dangerous. Verse 3, they will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I am you, that I warn you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asked me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And all that belongs to the Father, it's mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Let us pray. God, we love you. We thank you so much for all that you've given us. I pray right now as our Bible study, you open our hearts, open our minds, help us to understand your message to us. God, help us walk away from here changed. May my words be your words. May my thoughts be your thoughts, God. Father, I thank you for your Son who died on the cross for our sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, move through us right now. Calm our hearts. For you live in us. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Christians, you are no longer you. Amen? That's a good thing. You are no longer you. If you are a Christian who believes in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you've been baptized, you have given the Holy Spirit, you are no longer you. You are now in Christ. The work of Jesus is done. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus came to this world. He was punished, was displayed on the street for everyone to see. He was nailed to the cross as a representation of our punishment. He took upon our sins. He was put in the grave. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He went into heaven. 500 people saw him at the same time. He was making fish fry with his disciples on the beach. Everyone ate it. Everyone saw it. Everyone watched him ascend into heaven. His work is done. Amen. He's not going to die again. Growing up, I might have said this myself, but I did hear some pastors convince people, or the way they taught, and I might have fallen into this as well, but as you live and you learn the scripture, you grow, that every time you sin, you nail Jesus to the cross over and over and over again. Well, that's not true. Jesus died once and for all. Amen? We need to stop living in such a guilty state of mind that every time you sin, you're nailing Jesus to the cross over and over and over again. Forget that for a second. It's not true. God is not that mean. God is not that kind of God. God is not the kind of God that lets you carry that kind of guilt around. You can't do it. It's too burdensome. And to think about it, I don't think Jesus wants to go through that again. The night he was betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, Father, if there's any other way I can go, is there a way I can avoid this cross? I don't think he wants to go through the cross again. Matter of fact, when he was on the cross in John chapter 19, he says some very famous words. It is what? It is finished. It is finished. God's plan to redeem humanity is done. But he's not done with you yet. Jesus' death on the cross, once and for all, is done. It is finished. But he is not done with me yet. Let me hear you say, he's not done with me yet. He is not done with you yet. And he's not done with me yet. Because there's something that we don't give enough credit to or pay attention to. It's called the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, hey, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to give you somebody. It's called the Holy Spirit, the advocate. Because the Holy Spirit is God's permanent residence with humanity. That was the good news. Listen to this. John chapter 16, verse 7 and 11. But truly, very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove to the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can't see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. This is new to everybody. No one knew what the Holy Spirit was. No one knew what God's plan was. How is this going to work? They just know that there was going to be a good news. And they had an idea that God was going to be with them, but not the way that God planned this thing out. Since the creation of the world, there's this thing called sin, and we miss the mark. Right? I'm going to illustrate it this way. So you were born perfect, right, in the perfect state, and because of the Garden of Gethsemane, Eden, sin happens. So we're going to drop a little bit there. All right, sin happened. You and I are completely separated from God from that moment on. Where man used to live in the garden can no longer be in the garden. When man used to talk and walk with God, you're no longer doing that. When man used to commune with God and have a relationship with God, in a sense where you can see and converse with God, it no longer exists. And then something happened. God chose the nation of Israel to be his people. And as the Exodus from Egypt, he set up a covenant. And this is the covenant. That I'm going to be with you again. And I want to be with you all the time. But I'm not going to be really close to you because there is sin in your life. And I'm holy, so there needs to be a separation. So the way God set this up is they set up a tent of meeting between Moses, Aaron, and the rest of the nation of Israel. And he would set up a tent in Exodus chapter 33. It says this, now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it tent of meeting. Anyone inquire of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp, and whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance to their tents, watching Moses until he enters the tent. So the big idea is this. So God says, I still want to be with you. You're my people. I love you, and I still want to have a community with you, but I can't be with you so close. There has to be a distance because there's sin between us. This is the closest people can get to God before Jesus. You understand the good news? You understand why it's such good news? This was as closest to, that people can get to God before Jesus. Once Jesus resurrected from the dead, the work of the Holy Spirit took over. We really don't give the Holy Spirit enough credit. But after today's sermon, I hope you talk to him a little bit more. The Holy Spirit involved in your lives on a daily basis. The Holy Spirit, truthfully, keeps our chaos in order. The work of the Holy Spirit in your lives, every single day, every minute, every second, when you rise, when you sleep, when you go, when you do the things that you do during the day, the Holy Spirit is right there with you, and he keeps your chaos together. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Holy Spirit of God, was hovering over the waters. What's happening here? Since the creation of the first two verses of the Bible, God created what? The heavens and the earth. There was chaos. There was no orders. There was no day. There was no night. There was no water. There was no land. There was no animal. There was no tree. There was nothing. When the whole earth was formless, guess what was holding it together? The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Holy Spirit holds chaos. He puts chaos in order. And these were the famous last words of Jesus. And I know I spoke about the Holy Spirit a couple weeks ago. That's a babysitter. But it gets into more detail as Jesus teaching his apostles. Why did he spend so much time telling them about the Holy Spirit? Listen to this. John chapter 14. I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. Skip it down to verse 26. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind of you everything I had said to you. John chapter 15. Remain in me as I remain in you. In you. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. John chapter 16, which what we read today. But verily, truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And one more. And this is just in the book of John. This is not Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This is not in Paul's letters. This is just John alone reminding us, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears and will tell you what is yet to come. Our relationship with God now, if you are a Christian who accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, who've been baptized into his death, his burial, and and rose out of the water as his resurrection, you have the Holy Spirit that God gives you that lives inside of you. And he's not done with you yet. Our relationship with God is no longer at a distance. But now the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And that is the good news. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three working in one. Now, and don't tempt me to explain that, okay? Because you try to explain the Trinity, you lose your mind. You deny the Trinity, you lose your soul. But God, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, all working together. And somehow God the Father creates, and God the Son, who died on the cross for our sins, and God the Holy Spirit now lives inside of us. The primary purpose of the Holy Spirit is to be our advocate. This word advocate has several definitions and meanings to them. A couple of weeks ago, I said our helper and our babysitter, and it's still the same. The helper or coach speak to redirect us. He speaks on our behalf. He coaches as we go through our days. He redirects our paths, and he helps us when we are not in line. A walk with God, it's never perfect. Our problem is we are constantly living in the state of guilt. Like some of you think that every time you sin, you nail Jesus to the cross over and over again because you live in a fallen world. And the world has ingrained in all of us this this idea of comparison. Comparison, yeah. Comparison, the same old trick that Satan uses on you that he used on Eve back in the garden. Well, you're not God yet. Who wants to not be like God? Eve, you're not God yet? I mean, you mean God only gave you this and he's going to keep all that from you? Why don't you eat this because you can be like that? You're not good enough yet, Eve. You need more. Take it. Rebel. To the nation of Israel, you're not like other nations. Look around you. They have land. They have water flowing. They have resources. And you're the nation of Israel. You wander around the desert. Don't you want to be like all the other nations? To Saul. Saul, you defeated a ton of people. You're king of Israel. But, you know, you're not like David. David's better than you. Saul kills a couple thousand, but David kills hundreds and thousands. To Jesus, Satan, the same way. You're the Son of God. Yet you're poor. You don't have a home to lay your head. Oh, you're the Son of God. Then why doesn't he? You just jump down from here and he'll rescue you? You're not good enough. Why are you hungry? You're the Son of God. It's the same game that Satan plays on us. The game of comparison. Oh, you're not good enough. Don't go to church. Why would you go to church for? You're going to go to church on Sunday and do that the rest of the week? We know you failed last night. Why are you sitting here for? I know you mess up. You don't deserve church. You don't deserve God's love. You're not good enough to deserve God's love. Every week, Satan tempts your pastor, myself. Oh, you're not good enough. Your servants aren't good enough. Oh, but new. Why is that person not coming back to your church, huh? They came, they visited, and they left. They never came back. Why? Your sermon's not good enough, that's why. Your greeters are not friendly enough. Your coffee is not strong enough. By the way, you guys like the new coffee station back there? Who loves it? Oh, that's because Avery set it up with me last night, so he loves it. You're not tall enough. Well, the youth pastor is shorter than me, so. he's really not. He's tall. He is actually taller. My beard, it's not full as Lewis's beard. I'm trying to catch up with Lewis, the beard. Where is Lewis? There he is. My beard is not good enough. I'm trying something out, okay? I don't know yet. I don't know. My wife says, you're like a Fu Manchu going on. Your beard doesn't grow in like Americans do. Your beard grows out. It's like borderline racism with my wife, Your beard grows out. Not like the Americans. They grow in and it's full. I can't wait to sit on my couch. This is not in my note. I can't wait and just go, this. Make me dinner. It's that the idea of Satan, tempts us every single day. The idea of comparison. If he can get you into the thoughts of thinking that you're not good enough, you're not like the other person, you're not like the other churches, you're not like the other pastor, you're not like your neighbors, then you don't deserve God's love, or God doesn't love you. Your worship style is not trendy enough. This is verse in the scripture in Paul's letters. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. So here's what's happening. When the resurrection happened, this was new to everybody. The Jewish people were like, no, Jesus is not real. And some of the Jews said, yes, he is real. And the Gentiles said, we're going to believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Jews had a problem with that. And Paul began to persecute Christians. And on his way to Damascus, Jesus pulled him over and said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Change his heart. So Paul took the Torah, which is the Old Testament, put it on his side, and he traveled around the Mediterranean Sea to share about the good news. At the time, they didn't have the Bible. The resurrection inspired the writers to write letters. So at Paul established these churches, he began to write these letters to these churches to encourage them. And in these letters, he expressed that there were times where he was hungry. In these letters, he expressed that he was shipwrecked. In these letters, he expressed that I have nowhere to lay my heads, and people kick me out of town. I'm being shunned away from my Jewish synagogue, my community, my own people don't like me. I have nothing on me that's left that is worth a possession. He's sitting in jail. He says, this gospel is the reason I'm telling you. It's the good news that now Christ live in us. But within all these weakness, Paul expressed to the Corinthian church, he has this thing called his thorn in his flesh. Now, we don't know what that is, but whatever that is, Paul doesn't like it. The same thing that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, God, can you take this away from me? And Paul is doing the same thing to God. He said, can you take that from me? And in the middle of Paul agonizing in jail, and as he writes these letters to the Corinthian church, he's begging God to take this away. As Satan entered and used the game of comparison to Paul, say, Paul, you're being sent out from synagogue. You're being shipwrecked. People are beating you. People are neglecting you. People are shunning you out of the marketplace. What are you doing? And so Paul cries to God. And the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul. And this is what he says. My grace is sufficient for you. For my own power is made perfect in weakness. In his deepest, weakest, darkest moment in the jail cell. And he says, God, take this thorn from me. Make this easier for me. Is there any other way? And the Spirit spoke to Paul. And he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God tells us, you are enough because I am. You are perfect because I am. In our weakest moment in life, the Holy Spirit holds us together as the world spiraling out of control. And this Holy Spirit shouting from the loudest, like a coach, a teacher, an advocate, a helper. If you hear early enough, you can hear the teacher in this next door through a bullhorn. Yells through the bullhorn and says, you are enough. My grace is enough because I am. Can you imagine when David sang that song? Behold the works of God, the nations at his feet. As Joshua marched into battle, as he entered into the land of Canaan, the nation of Israel would go before Joshua with trumpets. And they shouted, it says, behold the works of God. The nations at his feet. Can you imagine going to the battle with that song? They picked their spears and said, no one is going to defeat us simply because God is with us. Amen? So this God that was with them in the Old Testament is the same God that is with you now, lives inside of you. And he says, you are enough because my grace is sufficient. For my power is made perfect in weakness. So this Holy Spirit that lives inside of us is like this giant bullhorn yelling at us all the time. Stop comparing yourself. Because I'm in you and I am enough. And the Holy Spirit is not done with you yet. Amen? When he comes, verse 8. When he comes, he will prove to the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin because people do not believe in me. About righteousness because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment because the prince of the world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, will guide you into the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from the me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. I'm going to illustrate it this way. I saw this, another pastor did this, and I really liked the idea, so I'm copying it. This is how this works. A lot of us that thinks that, you know, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to be perfect right away. Yes, God will see you as perfection in the context of Jesus Christ. You are no longer a sinner, you are forgiven. Okay, that's the good news of Jesus Christ, and he lives inside of you. But however, sin is right there with you and constantly tempting you. And as the Holy Spirit fills you, as he's continued to live in you, what happened is the Holy Spirit takes over your life. And all of a sudden, the things that you used to think that you are terrible, wrong, not good enough, comparing, you are no good, you don't give enough, you don't have enough money to give, your money doesn't make a difference in anyone's lives, you messed up last night, you're nailing Jesus to the cross over and over again, oh yeah, you're son of God, and why are you struggling, why are you not doing well, why are you missing church, why are you still addicted to the things that you're addicted to, why are you this, why are you that? Mike McGarvin, where are you? There he is. Can you go get me another bowl, please, right inside the kitchen? I misjudged my, and get another empty jar. I misjudged my amount of water here before it spills. So what happened is, as the Holy Spirit fills your heart, as you begin to struggle in the game of comparison, right? You keep comparing, you only see the sins in your life. But as you practice and being immersed by the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit takes over your life and he keeps going and he pouring. They're coming with new more water. Is there a commercial break in this story? Why we wait for more water in tub? There's a pack of snack for J.C. Mitchell. Pick one up on your way out as you go to the grocery store. We're taking dry food to bring to them. There you go, McGovern. McGovern, coming up. McGovern, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. The last time someone told McGovern to hurry up was his mom. Go on. Yeah, and fill that up with water. No, just that. Bring me that. Yeah. And fill that up with water. Go ahead. You get the point I'm making here. All right. Come on up, Dak. Don't spill. There we go. Empty this for me. There you go. Anywhere in the sink. Yeah. Hey, come here real quick. Who's taller? Seriously. Seriously, who's taller? Don't miss the point. Don't miss the point. Okay? As you accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit continues to fill your life up. Okay? Look what's happening, guys. What's the color doing? It's getting what? It's getting what?
Lighter.
Lighter. It's getting lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter. And as I keep going, what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit, which is filling you, it starts to push out the things that's in your life. Is it ever going to be completed? The answer is no, because we're still in this world that tempts us all the time. And yes, sometimes you mess up. I get it. Right? But as you continue to fill your life with the Holy Spirit, and it gets better and better and better, right? Don't beat yourself up here. Stop comparison. Because he's not what? He's not what? He is not done with you yet. And that's our problem. We're living in this constant guilt state of our lives that we're not good enough. And Jesus whispers in the ears of Paul and says, "My grace is sufficient for you." And as you believe in me, as I fill you with the Holy Spirit, The work I start in you is going to be carried out to the day of completion. And it keeps going. And it keeps going. And it keeps going. And as God continues to work in your life, you become more like him. And you become lighter. As the sins in your life begin to go away. You get the point. I can keep going. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes back. And he sees you as pure and holy. But for now, as you live in the context of Jesus Christ, you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your lives. And he's continued to fill your life. And he push out the dirt that's in your life. You become lighter and lighter into his image. But he's not done with you yet. Amen. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you so much. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, you are the God that lives inside of us, that holds us together. That when we look at our lives, we only see the messes in our lives, and we're tempted to move further away from you, but you have established a new covenant with us. That we don't have to stand at a tent at a distance anymore, but you live in us as we continue to ask you to fill our hearts. As we tap into you every single day, that you begin to push us out the unrighteousness, the sin, the judgment in our lives, that we live in this constant state of this fallen world, that we're guilty. We're not guilty. We're saved. It is finished. So Holy Spirit, guide us. Lead us. Convict us. Be the bullhorn in our lives. That when we fall so far, that we're tempted and we're falling away, you, the bullhorn in our lives, shouting from the rooftop, your grace is sufficient and our weakness is made perfect. And we are perfect because you are perfect and you live in us. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. As the band come forward, if you have any prayer requests this morning, there's a card in front of you. You can fill that out. But our elder is going to be up here to pray with you. If you need the Holy Spirit to be awakened, to move with you, ask the Holy Spirit this morning to fill your hearts. And if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is the opportunity by way of invitation of this song. I ask you to step forward. Meet me here and say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to know what this is. It's time for me to give it over to accept him as my Lord and my Savior. And you'll be baptized. We have a pool in the back here. We have changing clothes for you. But don't walk away from here letting Satan in your hearts to tell you you're not good enough, that you don't deserve it. And the whispers of the Holy Spirit says, my grace is sufficient. Your weakness is made perfect because I am perfect. So as you hear this morning, you have a decision to make. I'm inviting you to come forward. Let's stand.